Well, I appreciate your prayers. I want to say that I'm very thankful to the Lord for the privilege of being here. It's been an encouragement and a blessing, and it's also a confirmation of the Lord that the storms of life might blow, COVID may rage, and all of the different things that can happen in life can go on. And it can't touch our souls.
Amen.
And the Lord has proven that He'll be with us.
Yes.
And so I'm very thankful today that and encouraged with 2020 almost in the rear view.
Yes.
That I'm challenged to go on to 2021 with a courage that the same God that brought us through can be with us all the way through. And don't have to worry about any of those things, but we can put our trust and faith and confidence in God.
Yes.
I'd like to exercise your mind a little bit today with the idea of heaven. Now, have you ever thought about heaven? Well, probably everybody in here has thought about heaven, and I think a lot about heaven and talk about it, and we discuss it a number of times about what heaven might be like. And I want to say right off that I am not sure about all of it. it is a veil to me. I think that the language of the scriptures is somewhat allegoric, or I mean, it doesn't seem altogether clear that what he's talking about. For one instance, it talks about we have ideas of streets of gold and gates of pearl and streets of gold. And but be honest with you, I don't care about pearls or gold either way much. Very much. It's not real important. I was taught to not make it very important here, so it's not right. I think it must have a meaning beyond just that expression, because we need more than just that. But I want to look at the idea that you're not fit, I'm not fit in our natural state to go there. I think you agree with that. There is a place that we're not fit for. And so the plan is that we are fit for it. We've got to be made for the place. And we have a lot of ideas about heaven, and things that I to me, all the way from the profound to the hideous. There is all kind of things said and portrayed about heaven. But most of the time, when I talk to people about heaven, they almost always talk about it just in fleshly human terms. I mean, we project to heaven the only things that we can really know. If I enjoy something here and really enjoy that, it's hard for me to not think about that as a part of a heaven experience. Had Jesus not have absolutely declared that there is no marriage there? Now, I mean, you remember it where they come and said there's seven brothers, and starting with the top one, and they had a wife, and the wife threw the seven, and in the resurrection, I think it was Sadducees that was arguing over the resurrection, but they said to the Lord, in a contentious way, then whose wife would she be? And Jesus said there to them, because they were carnal, you do err not knowing the scriptures. Or the power of God. You're erring. There is no marriage there. But you'll be like the angels in heaven. You've missed the whole idea of it. And I want to get this to us today, because I think it's important. Because we're going to have to be fit for heaven. And we always fit heaven to us. So I want to deal with it a little bit. Because as we express, even songwriters of past, the way we express it, we fit heaven to us. For instance, there's a depiction of a of heaven as being this, this old guy's laying there. He's got a straw hat on with a straw in his mouth. He's got a fishing rod there with a line in the water. He's got his hand on his favorite old hound dog. It don't get no better than this. This is heaven. I'm going to be honest with you. If being lazying around on a riverbank with your hand on an old hound dog and a fish line in the water, I'm fitted. I don't need no changes. I'm ready to go. If the idea of heaven is mountains with snow on them and mountain streams coming out full of trout and with deer running through the woods, I'm fitted. Lord, I'm your subject. Send me on. I'm ready to go. I fit right into it. We do that with all kinds of things. I've even been at funerals before and actually heard somebody say, yeah, oh, he must be up there with that cold beer in his hand and sitting there on the beach and enjoy it. Well, there's people that don't believe there's anything wrong with those things, and it was what his life was about and what he enjoyed in life. So it must be heaven. And heaven is going to be me sitting there with this and we do all that. And you know, in the Native American culture, it was the happy hunting ground because that's what they did. And there's a place where the buffalo run free. And we fit heaven to all of our lives. A man that was a farmer, many times you'll see in the casket some farming stuff, and the expression is made, he's up there doing what he loves to do. And all of heaven is made to fit our but listen, we've got to be fitted for it. Well, it's not fitting heaven to make a heaven for us to say, I enjoy this. And there's songs gentle breeze, fields of flowers and gentle breezes. And listen, I'm not going to claim that I know all the heaven to know and to tell you that you're wrong in your vision. I don't know all of that. But the things that I do know about it is that it's a holy place. It's a pure place. It's a righteous place. I think it's a place of love. I think there's qualities to it that we've got to be fitted to. Not fitting heaven to fit who I am, but that. But what is it that, do you want to go to heaven? Do you really? We can say yes to that. But do I choose heaven here? If I've got an opportunity to humble myself and show somebody that's not doing me right love, do you know that's heaven? We are, I think we'll admit to this, that we are influenced. Don't you think that heaven influences us? Have you felt any influence of heaven this week? Is it possible for us to be influenced by heavenly things? Hasn't the scripture, doesn't the Bible teach us heavenly things? Doesn't it teach us how to fit for heaven? We say, well, I want to go to heaven. I want to go to heaven if there's a place there that fits me. That's the way we think about it. I want to go there because I don't want to have pain. It's a place of no pain. I want to go there and be in it. And I want my, there was one song that said, because of the mansions, I think it said, just give me a cabin in the corner of the glory land. Just give me, I mean, that's the vision of a cabin in heaven. I don't know if it'll be a cabin or not. I just don't think that there's any scriptural evidence to say that. That's not what it's really about, though. When we think of heaven, and I want to go there, it's because I belong there. I don't want the other side. There's two places to live. Do you know that it's really not, to me, a strong Christian idea? It's not at all. Atheists use an argument. I'll say this. Atheists use an argument that says, how can you claim a God of love that would send people to hell? Well, we don't. It's not the doctrine. The Christian doctrine is really not that. The Christian doctrine is that there is a choice in this life. And it is presented to us, the righteous. When the Lord began to deal with me, one of the strongest things that was on me was, I'm wrong and I want to be right. I want righteousness in my life. I'm drawn to the idea of holiness. I'm drawn to the idea of right things. I'm drawn to it. And I'm pushing away this other. And the idea of where am I going to go? I'm going to choose it more than just saying I want to go to heaven and I don't want to go there. But as life presents itself, you're really being fitted for the place. So I have an opportunity to choose heaven. Choose heavenly things. I don't know what all heaven will be, other than some few ideas of what the scripture says. But if God's there, it's a holy place. If God's there, it's a place of love. If God's there, it's no contention. Do you choose? You're right now, you can say, I want to go to heaven, but I ain't picking heaven here. I'm picking hell here. I'm picking nasty things. I'm picking bad things. I want to go to heaven. But that's what you're picking, the bad things and the results of bad things. Bad things have results. Good things have results. We choose. We say, I want to go to heaven. But when I depict it as a field full of flowers and a fly rod and doing that, why? Yeah, I want to go. They're just like here. If somebody gets in my way of that, I'm gonna be angry at them. So don't mess with me in heaven. But we got a distorted view about it, about what we're supposed to be embracing. We're embracing a holy God. We're embracing. I want to go somewhere where it's all pure and right. And I can say that. But now's the choosing time. Think about it. Now's the choosing time. I was really impressed by this. I heard it a few years ago. A young man who claimed to be an atheist was talking to a pastor. And he says to the pastor, I can't get over the idea that you believe in a loving God that would send people to hell. And the pastor told him, he doesn't. God would be unjust. He created you and gave you a will. And God would be unjust to make you live someplace that you hate. And you're hating heaven here. You've chosen all your life to hate everything that heaven is. And God's going to tell you, I'm going to make you live eternity in a place that you despised and despise on this life. We need a change in our hearts and minds that we hate. It's not enough to just go through. The Bible says for us to abhor or to hate evil. Hate wrong. Despise sin. Hate it. I don't choose that. I don't want that. Lord, help me not to choose the way of the flesh and of those things. I can say I want to go to heaven and ride right over the heavenly influences that are here. But there's heavenly influences that teaches. And grab on to the ungodly. Grab on to the unholy. Take a hold of things. It's why we know instinctively when we see something. You're watching or seeing something and then you know right off, this ain't pleasing. This ain't right. I shouldn't be doing this. This is wrong. This is not heaven. This is the other place. So Lord, help us. You want to go to heaven? Yeah. Are you sure you want to go to heaven? Because all those things on the internet, they're not there. Those songs They're not there. You say, well, they sound good here. And you want to go to heaven? Listen, you want to listen to that, but you want to go to heaven? I mean, are you sure? You say, well, I really want to go. You don't really want to go doing that. You really are choosing the other side. The vision that we have of heaven is very important. It is a holy place. It's a righteous place. It's a place of purity. Oh, I don't know what all it is. I can't get to the depth of it for sure. Talk about walking the streets of gold. I don't even know if you walk. I always had an idea. I was kind of disappointed with that phrase. I kind of want to float around. Come on, it's spirit. I don't know if there's air there or not, but I want to do flip-flops in whatever it is. I mean, move along, or transport it. I just want to be there. I'm there. I'm a different dimension, a different idea. No matter what you think, though, it's holy. It's right. It's pure. It isn't adulterated with stuff. It isn't mixed with its stuff. I want to go to heaven, but I want to drag, supposing this is a thought. God makes a place and he's going to call it heaven and there's nothing there. Nothing. Just nobody. And he starts putting the fit there. Come on, it's time to go. You've been made fit for this place. And it would be holy. We would all be there with the same mind and purpose and idea. I'd hate to think that they're squabbling and fighting in heaven. Well, they're squabbling and fighting here. I'd hate to think that there would be hatred and malice there. Well, there sure is hatred and malice here. The Lord help us. Over in Luke, 16th chapter. I'll say the first verse. And he said also unto his disciples, this is Luke, 16th chapter, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Now here's a case of a man. He was an unrighteous man. This man was not a righteous man. He was an unrighteous man. And he was being slothful and negligent or even crooked with the master's goods. He wasn't taking care of them. Do you know that we all have a stewardship? I mean, by creation, we are here to be stewards. I mean, by creation, we're stewards. Well, here's a man that was a steward and he didn't do a good job. And there come a time to where he was reported. And so the master comes and says, give an account of it. And this man knows that it ain't going. He knows that he can't get the numbers to match. He can't. He's not going to be able to make the case. He knows that. So it says, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, then they may receive me unto their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Now, this is an interesting idea. It's really hard for me to accept that scripture just that way when it says that the children of this world, people of the world, what it's talking about is people that have no care for their soul. They're children of the world. They take care of the world. They have no care. The children of light are those that take care of their souls. They have an idea. Want to go to heaven. The other man don't want to go to heaven. He ain't thinking about going to heaven. He's taking care of the things of his life. But he commends him for this. That he looked at the future. He looked at where he was at and what it was going. Now, sometimes we get hung up on this lesson, but I assure you that the scripture is not teaching us not to take care of tomorrow when it says things like take no anxious thought or take no thought for tomorrow. Because it's an anxious or worrisome thought. It isn't telling you not to prepare, it's telling you not to worry. And there's other scriptures that say those kind of things, but the idea is let's go to the ant, thou sluggard, who prepares his meat in the summer. I mean, there is a preparation for those kind of things. And the Lord commends this man of the world because he had enough mind and fortitude and idea that I'm going to do something for my future. I'm going to do something for tomorrow. I'm going to take care of myself with this. And in that, the world is wiser than the children of light. You want to go to heaven? You're going to have to prepare. We're going to have to do everything that you can do to make sure of it, to make it important, to make sure that I'm fitted for it, that I'm there for it. I may have to make some safeguards. I may have to put some boundaries. I may have to look foolish. I may have to do some things. I may have to pluck an eye or cut a hand. I may have to do something, but I got to fix tomorrow. I've got to fix my eternal destiny. I've got to fix it. I've got to get it taken care of. I've got to do whatever I have to do. But I don't accept, this idea that this meaning is that the children of the world is wiser than the children of light. Lord, surely you said that to encourage me to be as wise as the world. Or in their generation, or in their motions, in their business, in their things. They go to all kind of far-reaching things to make sure that tomorrow is okay. Investments. They invest, they do these things, they make sure that there's something, and I'm going to take care of that because I want it to be set that I'll have something. And he's saying, oh, children of light, there's eternity. There's eternity that's fastly approaching. There is the idea of where you're going to spend your eternal destiny at, and you're dallying. You're not busy at it. You're not taking full care of your time. You're not really pushing for it. You're not striving for it. You're not investing. You're not investing. You're supposed to invest. The scripture says for us to lay up treasures. No, lay up treasures upon this earth where rust and moth and thieves break in to steal. But we get that because I want to eat tomorrow. There's nothing wrong with that. I want to be clothed tomorrow. I want to be warm tomorrow. I want to have enough to be able to do my necessary business tomorrow. So I'm going to take care of that tomorrow. And the Lord is commending this man, even though he was evil, and saying that was the way you're supposed to do it, but let it be a lesson to those that are in light. Let it be a lesson that you're going to have to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Well, what does that exactly mean? It means something. It means something. Is there a reference there that what I'm putting up will be a dividend forever? Is it stating that I'm doing something that's preparing me and fitting me and making me like that place? So I want to challenge you with something today. There's people that we can say positively, I mean, according to the scriptures, that made it. You think they were fitted? You think old Peter, this isn't necessarily scripture, but old history says that Peter was crucified. And he asked to be done upside down. The history of Peter is that he felt that he didn't want to be in the same. And so he done upside down. And he's going to be there. He's going to be there with old Paul that said, I fought my fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. I went through all of these things. I fought with the beast at Ephesus. I went through the snake bites. I went through all of those things. And what the Lord gave me to start with, I'm bringing it back to him. I've still got faith. I still believe in God. I got rid of the world. I got all of it us. And I gave myself to the Lord totally. And I'm going to be there. And we'll be there with it too. That's part of the heritage. Read over there in, oh, let's look at that over in Hebrews. Oh, there's a list here of faithful people, of the great cloud, the witness. All by faith, or through faith, 28. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, and by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do, were drowned. This is 11 and 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the lines of mouths of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. You mean it was there? Yep. That they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, torment, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. See, listen. They all went to the same, they're all going to the same place. One may have been a farmer, but I don't think he's going up there with his pitchfork. Making hay sacks. One may have been a soldier, but he's not going with his sword. One may have been a fireman, but he ain't going with his cap. I mean, another one may have been a mountain climber, but he ain't got his ropes with him no more. I mean, all of these things, you're saying this is going to be heaven. No, there's a heaven. Amen. There's a heaven. And we're going to have to be fitted for it. Yes. This is the fitting ground. This is where we're at. Yes. I want to ask you to, say, please even, choose heaven. Here. Choose heaven now. If you want to go there, I'm going to have to love what it is. I'm going to have to embrace what it is. I'm going to have to humble my... I don't think it's a place full of proud people or proud souls. I think it's of those that were who humbled themselves and were redeemed. I think it's of people who practice it in this world. I don't think it's a place of unforgiveness. I think it's a place to all's forgiven. I think it's a place to where there's no evil thought to your brother. And you say, I want to go to heaven so everybody won't think bad of me. I want to go to heaven and I don't want to think bad of people. I want to go to a place to where the purity's there. So when we say, I want to go to heaven, do we know what we're saying? And at all costs, at the cost of, like Daniel, Daniel was an impressive figure because at the expense of his life, he stayed righteous because he was fit for heaven. He was fit. Here's one that could go. He's fit. He's not giving up his life for something like that. He's not giving it up. The three Hebrew children, at the perils of their life, they said, "We will not bow to that image. We bow only, our homage, our praise, our glory, it only goes to God. And it doesn't matter what you say, King. We're not careful in answering this. It's not disrespectful. It's not that. It's that we're choosing heaven. We're choosing a place. We're choosing something more." And so I want to say today, in the fear of the Lord, there's two places to go. I think we would think that. There's two places when we leave here that we're going to go. And we've chose it. Here. Now, there was a time in creation to where our doctrine goes. That man's default was good. His default setting on his life was good. He was made upright. God made him in his own image and he was upright and holy. But after the fall and sin, mankind was in sin, and the default on every one of us is evil. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is always that before us. But laid there in the promise of the gospel is the choosing of life eternal. Is the choosing of heaven. I can choose. Listen, I can't fit myself and you can't fit yourself. There is nothing you can do to erase the stains of sin from your life. Nothing. You cannot do it. But the blood of Jesus is designed, given freely, given to us to be able, when we choose and say, "I want that more than anything else," there will be a power to be able to fit us to that. You don't have to have unforgiveness in your heart today. You don't have to have malice in your heart today. You don't have to have impurities in your heart today, because of the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's able to fit us for there, give us the grace, and we then, but I want to tell you, we are, some people say free will. It's really redundant to say that, because will is by its nature free. If you say, I have a will, then you say you're free. That's what a will is, to be able to choose and to be free. You don't have to say free will, but I want to tell you, we have a will. God created us free choice. You have a will. He can come along and try to persuade you that this is the best for this life and eternity. Choose life. Choose righteousness. Choose the good things. And you may say, "I sure like that music I'm listening to." As the brother said, who stole whose wife and who done what and how drunk he got in the bar and those kind of things. And you can say them sound good, but I'm going to tell you, they're not in heaven. That's not the thought process. That's not what it's going to be there. That's going to be in another place. And everything, the fruit of it. Because see, sin is corrosive. It's corroding. It's rottening. It was said of Jesus, the Holy One of Israel didn't see corruption. It had no power over it. Death. The body starts rottening. Stinking. Sin is death. It rots. It corrodes. Sin corrodes people's relationships, their lives, their harmony, their peace with God and man. Sin is a problem. A big problem. It separates us from God. But there's a remedy for sin. But I want to tell you this. Don't try to pack it to heaven. It won't go. Won't go. Sin's got to go out of our lives. God, through the blood of Jesus. And then he fits us for a place. And listen, I want to discourage anybody that has a vision in there that they're going to be romping through clover fields. I don't know all that. To be honest with you, I don't know that. But this is what I do know. It's going to be a holy place. And I know this too. There's no need of the sun there. Because Jesus is going to be the light of the place. And somehow I think it's God trying to explain heaven to us. It's kind of trying to like tell somebody that never has seen before what the color blue is. I think God is in a real challenge to try to get to humans what heaven is. So he gives us a few things to chew on. Brother Sammons used to say, "I know what heaven is. And he used to say it this way. I know, he said, I know what my, like my wife's biscuits, said, I know what they're, I've eaten them. I know what they're like. And he said, I know what heaven's like because I've eaten enough of heaven. I've sat in heavenly. I know what heaven's going to be because I've had an earnest of it. I got a little bit. Have you ever felt it? Just, can you imagine that little bit? It's impossible for me to think. When the Lord tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, goodness, temperance, and all those, it would be really hard for me to think that that isn't the very nature of heaven. If that's where he's at, and that's the fruit of his life, we follow that. We pursue that. Lord, help us to choose heaven here. If you want heaven there, you're going to have to choose it here. Lord, give me grace to love everybody. It's not, I'll be honest with you, I look around, make sure I'm saying this right. Yep, no, you are not hard to love. But I'm kind of one of you. I love you guys. I mean, I love saints. I mean, it's. I don't really have that challenge. These people that's challenging. Lord, help me to pick heaven. Lord, help me to pick heaven. Jesus said to some folks one time, he said, I was in prison and you didn't visit me. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me no water. And I was naked and you didn't clothe me. And they said, Lord, when did we see you? Da, da, da. And he said, in the least, in this that you saw it to the least of these, my brethren, and didn't do it to me. He was pointing out heaven to us. That was an influence to heaven. You want heaven? Love your fellow man. Reach out to him. Sacrifice. Give. Give to it. You'll find heaven. You'll find some heaven here. Oh, I think it could go on and on, but I'm going to end it there. Choose heaven. The Lord has laid it before us. Choose heaven.